you pray for us this evening. Pray that God would help us, give us the message that He had for you. And we'll pick back up, and we're not going to preach everything that we preached this morning, but we are going to pick back up this evening and share with you the Word of God. And we talked this morning in 2 Samuel chapter number 1, and if you're visiting with us and catch you up to date, we've been preaching through the book of 1 Samuel. And last year, the second Sunday of the year, we were preaching, and we got to the point where Saul took the throne. And then here we are this day, and it's first Sunday of the year, and we're to where David is fixing to take the throne. And so as I preached this morning, we talked about the persuasion and the pursuit and some different things in David's life. And I'm going to read the first few verses again, and then we'll see what the Lord has in store for us. The Bible says this in 2 Samuel chapter number 1, and it came to pass after this that David inquired, or chapter number 2, verse number 1, and it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up unto the Lord, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah?" And the Lord said unto him, "Go up." And David said, "Whither shall I go?" And he said, "Unto Hebron." So David went up thither, and his two wives, and also Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite, and his men that were with him, did David bring up every man of his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and said unto them, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness, and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness, because ye have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them." But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and made him king over Gilead. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege, God, that you give us, Lord, to be in service tonight, God, with his family. Lord, I pray for Brother Bong, Lord, and his family. I pray that you'd ever bless them, watch over them. Thank you, God, for the talent, God, that you've given them. Thank you, Lord, God, for them. I pray that, Lord, as we come down to the preaching hour, Lord, I pray that you would take me and use me. God, I pray that my speaking and my preaching would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but God, in the demonstration of spirit and of power. Lord, I pray that you'd preach through us. Help us, Father, tonight, I pray. Lord, I love you, and Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name, I humbly pray. Amen. Remember this morning we talked about the preparation in verse number 1. There, chapter number 2, the Bible says, and it came to pass. And how that God was preparing David, there had been about 8 to 10 years, somewhere between 8 and 10 years, from the time that Samuel had came by and had anointed David there in the privacy of his own home. And here for 8 to 10 years, God had been preparing David for this time. And then as we preached this morning about how that it came to pass and about how the preparation, and then we talked about the persuasion, how that God had persuaded David there in his life to seek after him and to inquire of him. And you go back and you study the life of David, you'll find that every time that David didn't seek God, that David went out on his own, that David messed up. And may that be a lesson to us, that when we go to try and live our life our own way, and trying, even though we are servants of God and we're God's children, or even though we're trying to do right, when we go to trying to do things our own way and in our own power and in our own will, we must understand that we'll be like David, we'll always mess up. And there'll always be a mess that we have in our lives, and we'll see. So God persuaded David through the last 8 or 10 years of his life to inquire of him and to seek him. And may I say unto you that as I preach this morning, the greatest opportunity that you have as a child of God is that you get to go to the throne room. room and pray to God, and you also have the Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. And beloved, what a greater opportunity that you and I have as God's children than to pray. Man, what a privilege that is. So often, as I said, we look at it as a burden. We look at it as an obligation or a duty. But beloved, it's an opportunity that you and I have to go before God and to seek His wisdom and His guidance in our life. And then we see how that God told David, He told him to go. And we see there the pursuit that David had. And you'll see there in verse number 2, and David went up. And now I want you to see here, as we get here, as we get to this next point, I want you to see this, the permission and the prohibition of David carrying out the will of God for his life. Now let me say this to you just a moment. You finally surrender your life to the Lord, and you finally start living for God, you need to understand that everybody's not going to agree with you. Everybody's not going to agree with you, and everybody's not going to go along with you. But I want to show you some things here in this passage of Scripture. First thing I want you to see, that this was a prophecy that was fulfilled in David's life. Some 10 years ago, we'll say, Samuel came by and anointed David as king of Israel. We know that he anointed him there as king, and the Bible says there that God had sold him a man after his own heart. We've done preached through the life of Saul and how that Saul was a life of selfishness and Saul was a life of self-will. But God said, I'll get me a man after mine own heart. That's who I want. And may I say unto you, child of God, that ought to be our heart, that ought to be our mind, is that we would have the mind of Christ and the heart of God. But beloved, the best thing you and I can do is that when God gives us direction, as we do like David, we pursue it, we go after it. But I want you to understand that this was a prophecy that was fulfilled in David's life. And may I say this to you, I want you to listen to me. This thing was done in private about 8 or 10 years ago, and what God does in private in your life, He will reveal in public. Amen? What God does in private, sometime or another, He will reveal it in public. Why? Because God's work is a work that is to be manifested. God's work is a work that is to be magnified. And we must see that as David here, and he had been anointed in private, God there gave him approval in public. God had prepared David and is now permitting him to fulfill His will and His purpose in his life. Now understand this. You say, what do you mean God permitted? Do you realize that God permitted this family to come from the Philistines? We preached on Philistines. If I call y'all Philistines tonight, don't you worry about that. I don't mean it. That's the thing around the church. Man, the Philistines is after us again. That's what when we're having spiritual warfare and all this other, we talk about the Philistines. So if I call y'all Philistines tonight, please don't take no offense to it. But do you realize that God allowed them, permitted them, to come here? I mean, God, as He said, this is the first time in the United States that He's able to bring His family. I'm talking about God permits some things in our life, and God allows us to serve Him. God, I mean, you realize that God has ordained that man preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you realize God could have ordained the trees to do that. Amen? I mean, He said this, if you don't praise me, the rocks are going to cry out. He could have ordained every tree to be able to speak and proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, what a great opportunity and privilege that He's given to us. And God has permitted us to carry out His will and His purpose here on this earth. Man, God don't owe us anything. Man, it's a privilege to serve God. It's a privilege to serve God. God permitted this in David's life. I want you to see, and when as I say of this about permission, not only God permitted this, but there were some people that permitted this. Look in verse number 2. So David went up hither, and his two wives, also Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite, and his men that were with him, did David bring up every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king. You say, how do you see that some people permitted this? Do you realize that some people was fine with David carrying out the will of God for his life? Some people was in support. David had a wife. He had more than one wife, but he had a wife that was in support He had a family that was in support of him fulfilling the will of God for his life. May I go on record tonight and say, thank God that I have one wife. Amen, Brother Maul. And thank God that I have one wife, and thank God that she supports me and permits me to fulfill the will of God for my life. I'd hate to know that I was married to one that did not support me and permit me. And then if you've got a family that allow you to serve God and don't fight you on serving God, you ought to thank God and praise God, and beloved, because there's many out there that don't have the same privilege and opportunity and blessing that you do. They permitted him to do it. The men of Judah came. They came, the Bible says that, and they anointed David as king. You see that? And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. They permitted David. They supported him and his work for the Lord. And there's not one of us in here who cannot go back, if you've served God in any length of time, and you can't go back and you can't find that where there have been those that didn't support you. There have been those that said, "Boy, you can't do that. You're not going to make it. Why do you live the way you do? Why do you do what you do?" They're critical of you. And if you've not faced that, just hold on, you will. I'll be honest with you. I'd just probably go ahead and say this, and I don't have a verse to back this up, but if you're not suffering or receiving some kind of persecution in your life as a child of God, I really don't know if you're in the will of God in this day and age we live. If everybody loves you, the Bible says, woe be to the man that words are well spoken of. If everybody's supporting you in everything you do, I just don't know if you're in the will of God. You say, why do you say that? Well, they hated Jesus. They killed him. And we're to be Christ-like. But let's go on. So, and I want to encourage you young people, understand this. Some people will prohibit you from serving God. The world says you don't want to live that way. The world says you don't want to do that. The world says don't serve God. The world says be like us. They're prohibiting you from being what God wants you to be in your life. But then there's many others that permit you. But if you say, where do you see this prohibition? Well, look in verse number 8. But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Manahem and made him king over Gilead. You know what? You know what Abner said? He said, I don't care about God's will for the nation of Israel. It doesn't bother me what God wants. This is what I want. This is what I think is best. And this is the direction that we're going to go. And may I say unto you, it doesn't take long in ministry for you to figure out, and you understand this, I'm just not talking about from a pastor's standpoint, but I'm talking about in a ministry of you living your life for the Lord. It doesn't take long to you to figure out that there's many out there that's against you. They're against you. The choices you make, the life you live, they want it their way, they have a better idea, and understand this, that the personal responsibility is for you to be faithful to the role, a position of ministry, of service that God has for you in this life. You don't worry. It doesn't matter what others do. It doesn't matter what others say. We'll see as David remains faithful to God. God fulfills His will and His purpose through the life of David, no matter what everybody else does. And my encouragement and my challenge to you tonight is you stay faithful to whatever it is that God would have you to do in your life in the year of 2020. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Now notice this, the profitability of the place. Well, remember, let's see where God sent him. The Bible says there, and David said, whither shall I go? And he said, unto Hebron. Now we talked a little bit about this morning. But I want you to see the profitability of this place that he was sending him. Remember, Jerusalem was where Saul's palace was. That was where the throne of Israel was. But God didn't send him to Jerusalem. And we'll see that God sent him to Hebron. And we'll see that for these next 6.5 years or 7.5 years, I don't remember which one it is, 7 years or 6 months, you'll see that God allowed David to reign in Hebron over Judah and not the whole nation of Israel. Why? Because there were some things that God wanted to do in David's life, because David was, even though God had prepared him for this time, there were some things that David was not ready for in his service to God. And if we're not careful, as I said this morning, sometimes we get discontent and we begin to say, but Lord, I thought the throne was at Jerusalem. Why do you want me to go to Hebron? Lord, there's nobody in Hebron. Lord, there's nothing going on in Hebron. Lord, there's just a group of people over there in Hebron. Lord, Jerusalem is where the throne is. And if we're not careful in our life, we'll begin to carry out our will and we'll overstep God's will. And God said, David, I prepared you for these years to get to be the king. Saul's dead. I've took him out of the picture. I'm putting you on the scene. But understand, son, you're not ready for everything that I have for you. You're not ready for everything that I have for you. You can't handle it. What happened when Saul got the whole kingdom? It went to his head. And Saul made selfish decisions from day one. He said, now I'm the king. I'll do it my way. Even though I'm serving God's people, and I've got Samuel, and I've got him, I've got him as a prophet, and I've got him as a priest, and I understand that, but I'm going to do it my way. And we remember what happened to Saul. I'm not going back and preaching through. And if you don't disagree with him, that's fine. You just go back and study the life of Saul and just see how selfish of a king he really was. And God said, David, I'm not going to give you too much. I was reminded of that verse over there. Not a novice left, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the snare of the devil. God said, David, I've got some things for you down here at Hebron. It's not really a popular place in the world's eyes. It's not known to the Philistines, and it's not known to the Egyptians that that's where the kings should rule. But David, this is where I have you going. You know some things that happened in Hebron? The word Hebron means seed or association. It's derived from the Hebrew word that means friend. You go back and you study Hebron out. Let me tell you some things that God does in Hebron before He puts you in Jerusalem. It was in Hebron that God allowed Abraham to go after Lot had separated from him. After Abraham and Lot separated, God took Abraham down to Hebron. Now remember, Abraham was called. He was the first Jew that was called. God said, follow me and I'll take you into a land that I... And remember that. And He took Lot with Him. Lot was never called. And we can see that just as David and Saul is a type of the spirit and the flesh, we can see that Lot and Abraham is a type of the spirit man and the flesh man, and how that we begin to serve God, we bring along that flesh. There'll come a day, beloved, if you're going to live for God, that you're going to have to separate yourself from the life of the flesh. God's going to separate some things in your life. That's what separation is all about. Amen? And we see here that when God separated Abraham and Lot, God said, okay, Abram, He said, I want you to go down there to the plains of Mamre, which is strength, there in the land of Hebron, which is fellowship. And He says, you don't need Lot anymore, you just need me. Amen? There was a separation. Not only that, it was there in Hebron where Abraham and Sarah got a salutation. The Bible says that Abraham was sitting in the plains of Mamre in Genesis chapter number 18, and God came by there before He went to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible says that the Lord appeared unto Abraham and three other angels there, and they told, He came and He told Abraham, He said, guess what? He said, Sarah will bear a son. We're talking about in the land of Hebron. I'm talking about some good things that happened in Hebron. He said, Sarah's going to bear a son. You'll also find there that after there, that Sarah was going to have a son. You'll find there that was where Sarah was buried. That was where Isaac was buried. That was where Joseph was buried. Hebron's a pretty good place. See, it may not be the popular place of the world, and it may not even be the popular place of religion or the popular place of our Christianity, but you must understand, if we're going to be a servant of God, we've got to follow God wholly and fully. Because God's working some things in our heart and in our life. Not only there about Hebron, it was the land that Jacob dwelled in. It was where Joseph had dreams. Joseph was brought from Egypt back into Hebron to be buried. This is where David was publicly anointed. This is where David's sons were born unto him. God has a purpose in your life of putting us and putting you and I in a Hebron before He puts us in Jerusalem. You say, what do you mean, preacher? You just be patient and faithful to where God has you. And you let God work out all the details. Let God work out the details. We want to throne. I mean, every one of us wants the throne in Jerusalem. We want that place. We want that place of attainment. But may we have the mindset and attitude of Paul. He said, I've not apprehended this thing, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which lie ahead, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm not apprehended. Man, there's not a one of us in here that don't want to be the perfect Christian and be it today. We want to have all knowledge. We want to be spiritually mature. We want to have the right ministry. We want to have the building built. We want to have the tenth church. And we want to have this and we want to have that. We want all of these things. God says, you're not ready for those yet. You just follow me. You just be obedient to me. I've got some things that I'm working in your heart and in your life. And I want you to see this. There was patience to be practiced. And this is where I'm at. The Bible says, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. You see, in serving God, there's some patience to be practiced. And none of us want it. I told you the story how that the first time that I rode by this church and I seen that the former pastor's name was gone off the sign. And about a month later, Brother Green, I don't know if you ever heard me tell this story or not, but I rode by and God said, that's where I want you. And that was in May. And every time I come to Cleveland, there'd be a different name on the sign out there. And guess what? It wasn't Nathan Nix's name. And I'm like, Lord, I know this is what you told me. Lord, I know this is what you told me. God said, this is where I want you. I said, Lord, I know this is what you told me. And then it got to the point I'd ride by and see somebody else's name, and then I'd get jealous. Because I was like, man, they're going to vote them in, not me. Now, God, Lord, I know you want me there. I mean, God told me. Here it was, and preached some friends of mine, and preached to others, and I rode back by in July, and then God broke my heart, and He said, that's where you're going. I'm like, when? And then about the third or fourth Sunday of August, on a Saturday night, Brother Jack called and said, Brother Nathan, would you come preach for us? Yeah. It was August. Was it third Sunday of August? I think it was the third Sunday. I think my first time preaching here was the third Sunday of August. You know when I was voted in? The fourth Sunday of September. Right at a month. You say, what do you mean? Well, you got to understand and realize I was serving God. On the other side of the mountain, I was in the will of God, but I was unsettled. I wanted more. God said, either they're not ready or you're not ready. God says, I want you in Hebron. You got to learn some patience. You got to learn to wait. And when I want you on the throne in Jerusalem that I promised you, when I want to fulfill the ministry that I have promised you, I'll put you there. But right now, there's some things you need to learn in Hebron. And you know what David was in Hebron? The best king that David could be while he was in Hebron. You want to know how I know? Because God records a lot of David's failures, and there's no failures recorded in Hebron. There's no failures recorded in Hebron. And understand in our life as a child of God, and I mean, I you know me, I got patience, but it run out yesterday. And as I told you this morning, when I was in Walmart yesterday, trying to get an air mattress for this family, and trying to get some sleeping bags, and trying to get some stuff for our home, I mean, I was that close. To leaving it sitting in the middle of the floor and walking out of that store. Listen to me. God said, wait. He said, I got you here for a reason. I was going across the store pushing a buggy, and Tina called, or I remembered something that Tina's told me to get, and I'm like, golly, I got to go all the way back. Because I'm telling you, at 3 o'clock yesterday, everybody and their mother and their brother and their uncle's mother and brother and sister and cousin and third removed was in that store up there. Why? Because they said it was going to snow a quarter of an inch last night, I reckon. I mean, why else would they be that many people in Walmart on the middle of a Saturday afternoon? I mean, you couldn't push the buggy through. I've been there, me and Tina, before we had kids, we'd go on Christmas Eve just to watch people, and I have been in Walmarts on Christmas Eve and seen less people than I did yesterday. And I thought, man, and people's rude today. Y'all know that? And I was pushing that buggy, and people wasn't moving. I was in a hurry, and I got over there, and I got it, and put it in the buggy, and I started back across the store. Corner turned. And the young man I'd been praying for was standing in front of me. God said, see, I told you not to leave.
Amen.
I got to talk to him and hug on him and love on him. Tell him how much I loved him, how much I'd been praying for him. He needed to get back in church. He needed to get back. How important God was in his life. God said, see, patience pays off. Patience pays off. Understand, child of God, there is a throne in Jerusalem that is waiting you and I. All right? But we have to wait with patience.
Amen.
Because God knows what He's doing, and there's some things while we're in Hebron that He's trying to teach us. And remember, we're in a good place.
Yeah.
This is where Isaac was born. This is where God spoke to our forefather Abraham. This is where our forefather Joseph is buried. This is where Jacob lived. This is where Caleb inherited. There's a lot to learn in Hebron. But sometimes all we can think about is getting to Jerusalem. And we miss what God's trying to teach us in Hebrew. Sometimes we need to learn patience. We need to learn patience. Listen to this. And this is, I wrote this down, and you can write this down or not, whatever. I want you to think about this just for a moment. When part with God is better than the whole with man. Think about that just for a moment. When part with God is better than whole, than the whole with man. See, David had only received part of the promise that God had given him, but he was in the will of God. And so often in our lives, we begin to look at other kingdoms and other things, and we begin to compare ourselves, and God says, you're really better off right here with me with a part than you are with the whole. Man, that's a hard lesson for me to learn. You see, listen, think about this. David had been waiting somewhere between 8 to 10 years for Saul to get off the scene. 8 to 10 years he had already been waiting. Saul was dead. Saul was dead. David was next in line. Remember, the Philistines knew that David was anointed king. The Amalekites knew that David had been anointed king. Everybody knew that David had been anointed king. And for 8 to 10 years, David had been awaiting for this day. And here in these verses, we find that David had not been anointed king over all the nation, but only part of the nation. He was only anointed king over Judah, not the nation as a whole. I thought about this verse, Exodus 23, 29, and 30. Listen to this. He said, I will not drive them out. Remember, God is talking to Moses about the promised land and driving out the enemies of the promised land. He said, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little. Are you listening to me? By little and little, I will drive them out. If I asked Brother Bong if he wanted a check for $250,000, he'd say, yeah, preacher, Sure, who wouldn't? But that's not the way God's doing it.
Right.
It's this man's dollar. Right. And it's his hundred. And it's her thousand. And it's that little one's 50 cents.
Right.
It's little by little.
Right.
See, God works little by little. Oh, God could part the Red Sea for us if He wanted to.
Right.
He did it. God could make manna fall from heaven if He wanted to. He's done it. But He told him, He says, you've seen me part the Red Sea. You've seen me feed you with manna from heaven. He said, but I'm going to tell you this. What I'm going to do for you now is going to be little by little. He says, because I want you to understand that I'm working in my time and you're working in my time. And I want to tell all of you young people, we're working in God's time. We have our plans and we have our goals and we have our visions. We have our dreams. But understand this, God works little by little. Little by little, He says. I mean, who doesn't want to, as I said, to be, who would not want to be on the throne in Jerusalem? I mean, think about it. Don't get discouraged where God's got you. Just be obedient where God's got you. Little by little. It's patience. God will perform, because, and I'm closing with this verse right here. Listen, two verses right here. Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise of God. Listen to this verse. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. You know what the danger in our life is? Is we get slothful in our patience. We want the throne of Jerusalem today, and God says, I'm not ready for you to be on that throne. And either I'm not ready because you're not ready, or they're not ready. And then I want you to notice this. Look in verse number. Let me show you this. See if I can find it right here. Let me put my Bible back up here so I can read. Because I want to show you something when we wait on God. Let me just here. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse number 1. Let's look at the prophet of waiting on God, not the prophet with the P-H-E-T, but the prophet of P-R-O-F-I-T. Okay? I'm closing here. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse number 1. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron, and spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. And in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou was he that ledest out and brought us in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be captain over Israel. So the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. Who came to David? The people did. David didn't have to run after them and say, hey, I'm supposed to be your king. I'm supposed to be your king. I'm supposed to be your king. But David was patient in Hebron, waiting on God to fulfill His purpose. And God sent His purpose to David. David didn't have to chase after it. Oh, how often in our ministries and in our churches and in our lives, we go chasing after the purpose instead of being obedient in patience and letting God bring the purpose to us. Now, I know where to go. Remember, God told David to go. Are you listening to me? But the prophet in being obedient, because he said this, that you be not slothful in well-doing, but with patience, you inherit the promises of God. And David was with patiently waiting in Hebron, and God sent him the kingdom. He didn't have to go after it. Does that make sense? There is profit in waiting on God.
Amen.
It's hard, but it's profitable.
Amen.
I want Miss Evelyn to come back to the pen. I don't know how to give a verse of invitation tonight. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your attention and your patience. But if God spoke to your heart tonight, we're going to give you a chance to come and do business with the Lord. Not with me, but with the Lord. And if you want to pray, you can come pray. But church, as we go into this year of 2020, may we be patient. May we pursue. When God says go, may we go. And when God says, I've got a lesson for you, may we learn it. I mean, we all want to be out of our trials. We all want to be further down the road. That's the nature of man. That's the nature of man. God says, it's in my time and in my way. We're standing all over the house.